Probably one of the most important classes that we've done in Revelation will be tonight. So, one thing we do here, so much characterizing the ministry and the teaching here, there are a great deal of teaching tonight on faith. Well, that's what my ministry is about, but it isn't. The main emphasis that I sense in my study and seeing things in Scripture is spiritual life. However, we have to emphasize faith because faith is how you get to spiritual love. It's very important to me that you know not only that it is faith, for example, but why is it faith? And to understand why it's faith and not work, not performance, not doing anything from confession, repentance, sorrow, rituals, doing whatever, it's very important to understand why faith is all God requires, and that comes from the standpoint of understanding God and creature. Tonight, we're going to touch, we're going to kiss for a moment, why spiritual life? Why is that the new commandment? We know why faith. And to me, that's very important to know why faith, and then you'll be more adamant to stand firm, as Christ says in Galatians 5:1. Stand firm in it and not move, not be taken away from, just faith. You know why? You'll guard it. But why spiritual love? And tonight, we're going to touch upon that. So, and this involves your daily life. So let's begin with a word of prayer. The purpose of the prayer is to allow the Holy Spirit to be our teacher, opening our eyes and our ears to the things that He would have us to see. Now, this is Thanksgiving week, of course, and so we need to do a little prayer. Is there any prayer requests anyone has? Yes, sir. You're allowed as many as you want. Let's do a prayer for Ed. The family? No, absolutely. Any other prayer requests? Well, I already know of three people that have told me I'm not going to be able to make it tomorrow night, and very small class anyway, take three out, and that's about 60%. So I'm not going to push that. We won't have class. I regret that. We have so few classes each week, but I'm here to teach. And I stand up here just talking to myself. Jim isn't here. I couldn't pick on Jim tonight. He isn't here. So I come in, turn on the tape recorder, and teach to myself. So y'all enjoy your Thanksgiving time. Any other prayer requests? Well, y'all have a good Thanksgiving. But let's go into prayer now and prepare ourselves that the Spirit can open our eyes to just, I think, as I was studying it, working on it, the most important lesson personally, meaning in our personal lives that we've done so far in Revelation. Let's pray. God's Heavenly Father, we are caught up in the things of the world and evaluate ourselves and things by the standards of the world and the demands that are made on us by the world of work and finance and health and just so many things as we are in the flesh, though we do not war in the flesh, we are in it. I pray, Heavenly Father, that tonight the Spirit will open our eyes and ears and cause us to become even gently aware of what life is about, what our life after salvation is about as Christians. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, verses 9 through 11. Just a little bit. Verses 9 through 11, the occasion of the book. The circumstances by which God gave the book. Verse 9. I, John. Now, just to let you know before we go any further, this indicates a shift. And this is done a lot in Daniel. I'm not going to play with this. I'm just letting you be aware of it. So we've gone from that great, the Almighty, in verse 8. We've changed now the chapter, the scene, it's in the old theater. You'd leave from between acts. Now you come back, and this is the next act. So that starts verse 9. I, John, your brother, fellow partaker in tribulation and kingdom and perseverance, which are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Now, almost every commentary, every preacher emphasizes that last phrase, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. And I personally think you miss it if you do that. But let's work our way through this. I, John. John is the human author. The Holy Spirit is the divine author. When I was working on this, I'm tempted at this point to stop, give a long discourse on writers of Scripture, apostles, and today pastor teachers. We just don't have the time to do that. It would be beneficial. But deal with this, especially in regard to those who teach on brotherhood in tribulation and perseverance, but do it from a very comfortable life. Do it from a very comfortable, as the saying might go, from an easy chair type of pastor doing all of this. I'm sorry, it doesn't grow with those who do experience tribulation and things that go on, and I want to just deal with this for a few moments. And their bravery, which is not bravery, but in their bravery from the pulpit, they call believers losers, sinners, failures, all these things, just totally divorced of what we're going to look at tonight. It is the believer who has gone through things that can help others when they go through it. Classic example, if we were going to spend time here, would be Peter. Peter denied. Peter didn't just sin. We have to appreciate the impact of what Peter did. Peter didn't just commit a sin. He didn't steal from the church. He didn't steal from the pocket of money. What he did was he did that which is the ground root of all sin, and denied Christ. Because every time you and I sin, that's what we're doing. We're denying that relationship with God, and we're going to take things in our own hands. So no matter what sin you want to talk about, body sin, mental sin, overt sin, sin of the tongue, Peter's problems were directly involved with all of them in denying Christ. And he did it three times, which sets up a pattern of sin. If the opportunity had gone on 100 times, Peter would have denied 100 times. Three established the pattern. So we all have a pattern of sin, and Peter had it. But if you remember what Jesus Christ said to Peter, he said, Peter, when your faith is restored, encourage your brothers who will do the same kind of sinning, who will do the same kind of failure. And it's very interesting to study 1 and 2 Peter, how it deals a great deal with suffering and with a lot of things that Peter experienced in his life. So he was able to do that better than any other of the disciples. A point. To just get a feel of the things that John is dealing with and that we have to deal with. Look with me at Daniel a moment. There are two verses in Daniel I'd like you to look at. I'm not going to go to Ezekiel and others that we could go to. I just want to deal with two. There's two verses to let you kind of get a drift of where we would be going if we wanted to spend a great deal of time on this. Daniel chapter 7. The book of Daniel, chapter 7. Daniel 7, and we're going to look at verse 28. Daniel 7, verse 28. Okay, appreciate these words. At this point, the revelation ended. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts were greatly alarming me. His own thoughts were alarming him. And my face, my countenance, grew pale. But I kept the matter to myself. Daniel isn't revealing something about himself, and yet he's keeping something about himself. Isn't that interesting? Different men of the writers of Scripture do that. They will tell you things. I don't do a whole lot of that, probably not nearly as much as I should as I study Scripture. I've just been taught you don't use yourself as a sample, and I'm not sure that's true. Writers of Scripture do it a lot. So Daniel, if we just sat here and we could spend some time on the verse, all these things that happened to him, his thoughts, that's his mind, the faith, that's the emotional response of what's going on, but I just kept it to myself. I didn't know how to communicate it. Look at chapter 10, verse 2, please. Daniel chapter 10, verse 2. In those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. Now, I don't know if you know or understand that. That's a very heavy thing to have to go through mentally, spiritually, physically. I've been there longer than the 3 weeks, but it's a very difficult thing to go through. And when you go through it, you're able to understand some things that Daniel is talking about. So there's a lot we could talk about communicators and dealing with what they go through and things that they have to deal with in their communication of Scripture. But let's move on. And now John does something. He says, I, John, your brother. Note that he doesn't say, I, John, we're in Revelation 1 again now. Notice he doesn't say, I, John, your pastor, I, John, the apostle, I, John, the disciple of the Lord. He didn't flaunt his authority. And yet he has 7 churches in specifically, but in principle, all the churches. But if we just, so we could talk about it, we'll make an impact. He's talking to 7 churches, and what is it? He doesn't flaunt his authority over them, that I'm the great teacher, that you have to respect me and all of this. He identifies with them. He identifies with them immediately. I, John, your brother. Brotherhood in Jesus Christ. A lot of Christians don't think much about that. They even laugh at calling each other brother. I'm going to go through tonight why a lot of that is true. And I'm going to talk about 2 groups of people. More often than not, blacks in America have a much closer identification with each other than Christians. They have a much closer identification than Christians do. Theirs is based on race. Theirs is based on race. But they have no problem with brother. Hey, brother. And this type of thing. They have no problem in doing that because they have a very strong identification based on race. The Jews. Jews, wherever they're found all over the world, they have a very close affinity, very close drawing with each other based on race, just because they're Jews. No, not just because they're Jews, but because they are Jews. Well, if we think about it, our brotherhood is infinitely more important, infinitely bonding closer than race. Ours is based on the cross work of Christ. Ours is work on being in Christ, being sons of God. And yet Christians not only refrain from referring to one another as brother, even in principle. Christians more often are the enemy of each other. We are more befitting the family feud than the blacks in America are the Jews. We don't have that, and I want to talk about that as we go through this. This is exactly why. This is exactly why I want to show you the mark of the Christian is not superior morality, who can be the nicest and the most moral, not superior in knowledge, not superior in purity, but the new commandment is to love one another. Basis of our brotherhood, we died with him, and we are raised up with him. Therefore, our brotherhood is not based on the flesh, but is on the Spirit. Look with me, if you will, at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. See, if this, sometimes you pull things out of a passage because you're doing something else to get to see the impact of what's going on from a different perspective. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's begin at verse 15. Verse 15, 2 Corinthians 5:15, and he died for all. Well, verse 14 starts the sentence. For the love of Christ controls us. That's an amazing thing, to be controlled by his love. Compels us, controls us. But note that the participle that follows comes before being controlled by his love. For the love of Christ controls us, but before that happened, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. You're going to be compelled by that love once you examine it and are amazed by it. Now verse 15, and he died for all, that they who live should no longer live, that's you Christians, should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. So there we all are with that one objective there. Verse 16, therefore, from now on, we recognize no man, no believer, according to the flesh. People, our brotherhood, our unity, is not based on race. It's based on something far inferior to that, superior to that, far superior, that being our relationship of being in Christ. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. In his humanity, when he was here. But now, we know him as in the flesh no longer. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come. Okay. Now, let's look at verse 1 of Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. Verse 9, excuse me. I, John, your brother, and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus. Okay, next John points out a very important aspect of our brotherhood. Fellow partakers in the tribulation. Yeah. Don't freeze up, have fun with this. This is powerful. The Greek here is very awkward. The Greek is awkward. You might even just pick up a little tint of it in the English even, but the Greek is awkward. Has some problems. To those who study the book of Revelation in the original text, by the way, if you remember, we studied John's Greek in our introduction. We spent some time on that, so you have that in your notes about John and his Greek. And we've already seen some of the problems related to it. Now, what is at play here? In what I've just read, what is at play is what is called in Greek, the Danville Sharp rule, and a figure of speech called syndiatris. H-E-N-D-I-A-T-R-I-S. Syndiatris is the figure of speech. A figure of speech means three for one. Three words for one idea. Now, we're not in a seminary class, and we're not doing that kind of thing. You want to know what's going on. That's what you want to know, and that's what I want you to know. But I want you to appreciate by just what I just told you we're dealing with in Greek, what's called the Granville Sharp rule and the figure of speech and hymn, diatris, three in one. Now, what does all of that mean? Can I take all of that without spending your time on the Granville Sharp rule and on the figure of speech and on all of this? Let's see if we can cover this. Getting the lesson of seeing the point here is based on understanding the construction and why Sharp's rule and why the figure of speech comes to play. So, here's what I'd like to do for you. to help you see it. Okay, we're just out of the way, but I do want you to appreciate, see this and appreciate this. Okay, if you'll notice the definite article, the, I have in box, because that's very important. Now, all that's going on in this scripture, you can understand. We have the brotherhood of you. And, now I put the Greek word chi, that's your word and, it's the English word and. That's very important in all of the Greek here, in the structure of the Greek. I'm not going to take you to the structure of the Greek and show you what it all comes down to, though. How does it come to play in your life and mine and understanding here? The brotherhood of you, the brother of you, of y'all, and partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance in Jesus. Now, just think through, we've got the definite articles, where they play. We do not have the repeating of the definite article. The brother and the partaker. Don't have that. That's very important here. In the second phrase, in the tribulation, one time the definite article, and not the kingdom, but kingdom, not the perseverance, but just perseverance. Okay. Nice. What does all of that mean? Let me just give it to you in four points. So you can think through this passage. And dear people, this is so important to your life. It changed my perspective. Even though the Spirit has already taken me in this direction, this is powerful. I had no idea we were going to get into this in verse 10. Okay. One. Note three key words. Three key words. Tribulation, kingdom, and perseverance. That's all I want you to kind of get in your mind. You have three key, meaning important nouns here or subjects. Tribulation, kingdom, perseverance. Point two. But only one is at issue. Tribulation. Only one is at issue, tribulation. I have right here, followed by, or preceded by the definite article. Three, point three. The other two words, kingdom and perseverance, are used to characterize that tribulation. Do you grasp this, people? Do you allow the Spirit to just peacefully show you this? The other two words, kingdom and perseverance, are used to characterize that tribulation. Point four, puts it together for you. The tribulation that is being spoken of here. The tribulation that is being spoken of here, tribulation, suffering, adversity, the tribulation that is being spoken of here is not the tribulation or suffering that the world experiences. All of you are aware of the fact unbelievers experience suffering, unbelievers experience tribulation. Unbelievers experience heartache. Unbelievers experience a crush experienced in life. Okay. Point four. The tribulation that is being spoken of here is not a tribulation or suffering that the world experiences, but a tribulation, suffering, which is directly related with the kingdom, and with perseverance. We could say that is from the point four of tribulation that is being mentioned here is not the tribulation or suffering of the world experiences, but a tribulation or suffering which is directly related to the kingdom and requires perseverance. Another way to help you see this, kind of a diagramming way. Brothers and partakers, they go together, they're equal. Boom. In the tribulation related to the kingdom and demanding perseverance. As the perseverance or the tribulation that is being spoken of here is unique. It is related. This is a tribulation the world does not know. They do not know. You could have two people going through exactly the same thing. An unbeliever and a believer. They're different people. To keep your mind in that group, two people can give money in an offering plate. Two believers can give money. One is filled with the Spirit, the other is not. Entirely different. Entirely different. Same thing, but entirely different. That's what we have here. Two people, even in the same family, can be going through tribulation. Yours is different. Yours is related to the kingdom. Yours is related to a special perseverance. And I cannot even begin to communicate. I wish I could. We have the oratory ability of Apollos in the Bible, but Apollo in the Bible, but to communicate how important these words are, how powerful all of this is. John identifies all the body of Christ bonded together in tribulation. You ever thought about it that way? John does. John identifies all the body of Christ, including himself, because he is a brother and partaker. And we all are. Brother and partaker, bound together in this tribulation related to the kingdom to which we are all members of, requiring a perseverance. Now, let me just talk with you, whether you like it or not, whether you agree or not. One reason the blacks in America sense this brotherhood with one another, this identity with one another, because they see themselves as afflicted. Whether you like them and what they're doing, that's not what I'm talking about. Why do blacks all around America see themselves and have that identity with one another, a powerful identity with one another? It's because they all see themselves afflicted. Now, we can all discuss, are they truly afflicted? That's not my point. In their minds, you are black. You are afflicted. You're put aside because you're black. So this is how they see themselves. They are all in tribulation together. Therefore, this affinity, their affinity, or there is an affinity between them. And people, it doesn't matter, and this is what upsets a lot of white people, it doesn't matter, right or wrong, of the other black. It doesn't matter if they personally know the other black. They're black. You're black like I am. Therefore, you're my brother. And we got to stick together. Most of the blacks know right and wrong. You might want to argue and say, no, they don't. I say they do. Basically, they know the difference in right and wrong. It isn't a matter of saying, you can be wrong, and we don't care. It's not what they're saying. You're black. You're afflicted. Why do you have to get you? And we're together in that. Talk about the Jews. Jews all over the world. The same thing with the Jews all over the world. They're linked together. They have a bond with one another, a unity, a brotherhood. And what is it in? We've been persecuted. Tribulation throughout history. Millions killed in World War II. We've always been hated. We have been hated by not just white people, we've been hated by the world for almost 2,000 years. Nobody's ever liked us. You do. You're under that. You do something wrong. You sin, you fail, you commit a crime. You're still a Jew. Do they not know the difference? Yeah. They know the difference. But they have a brotherhood. Think about that word. They are related. And they see each other, not as separated. You're black. You're Jew. You're in this line of tribulation. Somewhere along the line, your ancestors were killed in Germany. Maybe nobody in your family line was, but you're Jew, and you were. If you're a Jew, you're afflicted. And we go all through history, blamed for the Black Plague. Rome, hated by Rome. Hated by even Christians in those times in history. What's that done to the Jews? They have a closeness. They have a closeness. The Christians don't even begin to have. They have something that's there. It's not a matter that they don't understand right and wrong. It's not a matter they don't understand crime. It's not an understand. It's a matter of they do. And we understand the pressures you're under. We understand the hurts you're under. We understand how the world hates you. We understand how we have these promises and the world just will not consider us as worth anything. You're our brother in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're bonded by suffering, people. We're bonded by what? You. We're bonded by the hatred of the world. They're consciously aware of that, people. They're consciously aware of it all the time. Like a lot of blacks are. Right or wrong, real or unreal, not talking about that. Talking about from my perspective of thinking. The world hates us. So, brother, we've got to stick together. And you're hurt. I'm going to be there. I don't like what you did either. But you're black, and I understand your tribulation. You're Jew, and I understand how the world hates you. Hated by Christians and non-Christians for almost 4,000 years. 4,000 years of this people has bonded them together as brothers and partakers in tribulation. What's bonded them together? Christianity. Christians don't share this thinking between other Christians. And because we don't, Christians become the enemies of each other. We judge one another. We malign. We separate. We destroy. Puritans are some of the worst people on earth, and yet they're praised by a lot of Christians. While the truth is, please listen. While the truth is, we as Christians have something infinitely more important, more bonding than the Jews have and the blacks have. We are bonded together in Christ. And we don't understand, and by that, what I mean by that is, in our practice, we might understand it theologically, but in practice, the way the blacks and the Jews do, We don't understand that every other Christian is in tribulation, is in a war, a spiritual war, a real war. And do I need to tell you what Christ said? The world hates you. My God, why do you go around running each other down when the world hates you instead of supporting one another, encouraging one another, and having a bond? That even the blacks, who have nothing more than their race, and in my opinion, a lot of self-imposed things and all of this. But what I think isn't even important here. What do you think is the point? Is what I'm dealing with is reality. They're bonded. They see themselves as afflicted, and they see you as afflicted if you're black. You're my brother, and us brothers got to stick together. Jews do the same thing. You're a Jew, The Christians don't think that way. But in truth, people, if I can communicate what John is saying here, we are bonded together in a far more powerful way in Christ. We are in the greatest of all tribulations. We should understand the sins and the failures of one another based on this tribulation, this spiritual warfare. We should understand that. That doesn't mean you accept wrong. That doesn't mean you condone sin. Just as it doesn't with a lot of Jews. It's just you, and we understand. We understand the suffering. We understand how the Jews have been hated, manipulated, kicked out of country clubs, and not allowed in here, not allowed in there, just because you're a Jew. We got to stick together. Christians don't think that way. They don't look across the room, think of that other Christian in bondage, in tribulation. Tribulation. I haven't even dealt with the word yet. It means to be crushed. It means to be squeezed. It means to be hurt. It means suffering. Those are a lot of concepts we'll be looking at. This is what we should be doing. But instead, indeed, we deal with each other based on the law, not on the cross. Deal with each other on flesh, not on the powers of darkness. Oh, you're a horrible sinner. Oh, you've done this. Oh, you've done that. I got to judge, malign, separate. People, I'm not talking about condoning sin. If you're hearing that, then you're not listening in the power of the Spirit. And if you think the Jews, when they support one another, don't understand right and wrong, you think you're naive of history. They're bonded together by affliction. They're bonded together by something I'll never understand. Millions of them slaughtered in Germany just because they're Jews. I hate to watch those movies. Some movies I don't like, I turn off. But I don't turn them off because I do want to have it in my head. But just because you're a Jew, we're going to burn you. We're going to gas you. I can't identify with that. I can't identify with what they've had to go. You're not allowed to go to a club, not allowed to do this, not allowed to do that. I can see where that would bond them. I can see where it would bond blacks. People, we ought to have the same more powerfully, not just the same. We ought to have this infinitely more powerful among Christians, but we don't. I'll tell you why we don't. Because in our time, Christians aren't under visible tribulation. See, the Jews are under visible tribulation. The blacks are under visible tribulation in their view. They're under visible. So they can see it and it pulls them. You don't get to see the tribulation that each other. People see it right next to you. You don't see their tribulation. This has to be our faith. We have to, by faith, understand there is a spiritual kingdom. Not a race like the Jews and the blacks. There is a spiritual kingdom to which every one of us belongs to, and because you belong to that kingdom, Satan is going to do whatever he can, and the world is going to do whatever it can to bring you down and cause you to sin, cause you to fail, cause you to get into arrogance, cause you to do all kinds of things, except just walk by simple faith in Jesus Christ and in the power of the Spirit of the living God. We can't see that with our eyes, and since we can't see it, we don't see each other being in tribulation. But it's there. I dare say every one of you in this church can give about a paragraph or two on the spiritual warfare, the angelic conflict. But does it make any difference when you deal with one another? You have that emotional, mental brotherhood like the blacks and the Jews have? Most Christians don't. It's our little group over here and our little group over here. Power little group over here. And we're going to run down that group. We're going to run down that group. And we're competing with that group. We're going to have more baptisms in that group. We're going to have more riding the bus in that group. We're going to have more church in this group. We're going to have more of this. We're going to give more money. We're going to do this and that. We're going to learn more. We're going to be better. We're going to be more pure. On and on and on. has nothing to do with what John's talking about at all. The brothers, partakers in the tribulation related to the kingdom and requiring this perseverance. Now, the first century Christians, they were a little different. First century Christians were a little different in the writing of Scripture. They were indeed suffering because they were Christians. And they had no problem in recognizing one another, serving one another in love, encouraging one another, giving money to one another when in need, restoring one another. Then we've emphasized in our study faith and love. Faith, because that's how you get to love. And we know why faith. Being of God. That the only thing that God can accept from us is faith. In fact, it isn't even accepting. It's the only way that God can give us is that we receive it by faith. But why love? Why love? I could name other things that the new commandment could have been. But it wasn't those things. It could have been be moral. Be knowledgeable. Learn lots. Be morally righteous, learn lots of doctrine, have charismatic experience, serve me. I'm going to give you as simple an answer as I can of why love. Because we're all in the tribulation. We're all in the spiritual warfare. That's why. And that's what each other needs, if we understand Scripture. Now, with this in mind, if I see his spirit communicating anything to break through on what we're trying to see here. Let's look at some passages together, but from this perspective. Not theological. Not Bible scriptures, even. Put it in perspective of the first century where Christians were slaughtered and killed, ostracized, hated. Let's take a look. Just a few. I'd like to go for an hour and a half on this, but let's just know two or three to see what we do with this. Look at Galatians 5. Isn't it interesting how Galatians always seems to come up? I told you it was the primer of all of Paul's teaching is in one book. The seed of everything Paul teaches is in one book. Galatians 5:13. Now read it with the perspective of tribulation, adversity, suffering. The world doesn't like you. And it's overt. For you are called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Look at Galatians 6. Galatians 6. Brethren, there's that word again. There's that word. Even if a man, that's one of us, is caught in any trespass. Now remember, that can be used one of two ways, and both ways are good. One, it isn't a matter of hearsay. You came up on them and their hand was in the cookie jar. They were caught. That's one way the word can mean. The other is, he's caught up as what a lot of Christians like to talk about, a pattern of sin, like they don't have one. We all have a pattern of sin. So if a brother is caught in any trespass as a pattern, he's caught up in that pattern of trespass, or he's actually caught in the trespass, you who are spiritual, walking in the power of the Spirit, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens. And if you remember this context of the Greek here, a burden called, ye help bear their burden. I used to be taught, oh, leave them alone, boy, you get in the way of God getting at them. Well, I know what I read in Scripture. Bear one another's burdens, even the burdens of sin, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. What did Christ do with our burden of sin? If you want to be like Christ, what did he do with our burden of sin? He bore it on the cross. Most Christians today are very big on judging and separating. Let's look what the Bible has to say. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Go back. Look, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. You talk to Christians about another Christian sinning, and they all... It's amazing how nearly every Christian, especially self-righteous Christian, knows about the incestuous believer kicked out. And they use that for their justification of always separating. Of course, this man and this man is not. They thought it was just correct. They were allowed in the assembly. It was almost assembly's part of what was going on. But look what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2. Most Christians don't know about Paul picking it up in 2 Corinthians. They just know about 1 Corinthians. But they were so horrible to this person. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, look with me at verse 7. So that, on the contrary, you should rather forgive, to talk about this incestuous believer that everybody wants to separate from, Christians, rather forgive, and of all things, comfort him. Lest somehow such a one be so overwhelmed by excessive sorrow of the way that you're treating him. I have other passages. I've got to move on. But look at First John, please. First John, the author of our text, and that'll be right near Revelation, so it's not out of your way. Look at me at First John. And we will look at chapter 3. 1 John 3. And we'll begin our reading in verse 15. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Now we have to understand what it means, but most of you do. We know love by this. Not by definition. We don't know love by definition. It defies definition. We know it by description. That he, Jesus Christ, laid down his life for us, for our sins. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Verse 17. But whoever, now remember reading this in the realm of the conflict, the tribulation. Whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against that brother, there's that word again, brother, another believer, how does the love of God abide in him? It doesn't. Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue. That's nice little speech. But in deed and in truth. Truth is in the power of the Holy Spirit there. So this is something that self-righteous Christians will never understand. And that is that it is not a matter that blacks, Jews, do not know right and wrong. It is a matter that there is something stronger that bonds them together, people. There's something stronger that bonds them together. And that's tribulation. That's tribulation. And we have something stronger that bonds us together. And that's the cross of Christ. That's being raised up together in him. The point that John makes is that our suffering is not like the suffering and the tribulation of the black, or normal tribulations that man experiences. The tribulations, as we have here in this text, the tribulations of the Christian, is directly related to the spiritual kingdom to which we all belong. That's why this was so important that I gave you this time tonight. Our tribulation, your tribulation, the tribulation of another believer, everyone in this room, in this assembly, it's not like the tribulation of unbelievers out there. It may look the same, but it's not. Two sins may look the same, but they're not. That's hard for people to see. Very difficult for Christians to see. What's going on in the spiritual warfare? But our tribulation, based on this kingdom, based on this, and it requires this perseverance that is going on here. That's the point that John is making. The tribulation of Christians is directly related to the spiritual kingdom to which we all belong. Understanding the spiritual warfare is essential not for your theology, not so that you have some nice information, but so that you can have a love toward one another. A warfare, a spiritual warfare. What are we doing on Wednesday night? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. All of a sudden Paul says, war. We walk in the flesh, but we do not war in the flesh. Whoa, where does that come from, Peter? Because we're in a war. We're in a war, and every other believer is in a war. We're in this together. I used to use the example for this kind of teaching of something like the Marines. He had esprit de corps. You're a Marine. People didn't even laugh here. What bonds us is tribulation. This tribulation. We're all partakers in this tribulation is what John is saying here. This is not esprit de corps. The blacks and the Jews don't have esprit de corps. Their brotherhood and their unity and their caring about one another is dealing simply from the fact you hurt just like I do, and you're under suffering like I am, and the world hates you just like it hates me, and therefore I support you. Christians can't do that. We can't do that. We got to judge and align and separate. And then we build a little churches on everybody's like-minded, everybody has earned their love, everybody has performed according to what we want. Not what John is saying here. So we have to understand the spiritual warfare and understand, why is there stress, anxiety, and depression in born-again believers? Because of what I have on the board. Is it different than the stress, anxiety, and depression of an unbeliever? You bet it is. That's why I don't have anything to say to an unbeliever experiencing stress, anxiety, and depression, except Christ crucified and raised again. That's all I have for the unbeliever. But the reason a believer experiences stress, anxiety, and depression is related to this war, this tribulation that we're talking about. This is why it's so important to understand spiritual love and the new commandment, caring about one another, loving one another, restoring one another, encouraging one another, seeing the spiritual warfare with our spiritual eyes. People, Christ tells us what? The world hates you. Think about that. It's hard in America where Christians, you know what we use as our standard of whether you're a good Christian or not and everything's going well? Your prosperity. Everything going good? Oh, no, everything's good. That's right. Lord, no adversities, no power, everything's getting good. Oh, then you're really walking with God. Got a big church, got a this, got a nice camp, got wonderful family, whatever it is. But boy, bad things happen and all of this, boy, we're like Joe's friends. Oh, boy, something's wrong there. We're quick to judge that way. I'm here to tell you, that is, according to what I see and then going on in Scripture, it's in the darkest time in your life and the greatest tribulation and adversity that your light shines the brightest. When it's the darkest in your life. When there is no reason for you whatsoever to have spiritual love flowing from you, but it flows during the tribulation. During what we're talking about here. When it's suffering, adversity, and darkness. And yet you dare to walk by faith. And other Christians who understand what's going on are there to encourage. Hated by the world, Jesus Christ tells us. We're in a spiritual warfare, the Scriptures tell us. And we have something stronger and eternal that really should bond us together. Okay. Let's look at our passage. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. Brothers, in partakers are in the tribulation, the brother of you and co-share in tribulation. I'm not going to put the word for co-bear. There's nothing in it that I want you to see Greek-wise. I gave you the outline structure of the passage, but now what I want to do is look at this word, partaker. We've looked at brother. Now let's look at partaker. They go together. Okay. Now, the Greek word is an adjectival noun, and let me just tell you what some of the concepts behind the word. Companion, participant, partaker. It describes every one of us. It describes the sinner, it describes the self-righteous, arrogant one, and it describes the spirit-filled one. This is our status, the partakers. If you understand that, you care about one another. The next phrase, prepositional phrase, partakers in what? What are we going to partake of? Got to know that. Okay, we're partakers in the tribulation. We're partners. We're brothers. We're partakers these two go together. This is why we're brothers, and understanding each of these. Go back to my Jews and my blacks illustration. Partakers. Brothers. In what? In tribulation. It's what causes this. We all understand that we're partakers, and we're partakers in tribulation because we know what each other's all gone through. In the. See that? The tribulation. A definite article is a clue in understanding tribulation related to the kingdom. Tribulation. This isn't in the tribulation and the kingdom and the perseverance. I hope that I've effective enough to communicate that to you. We're not saying that. This isn't. We can't say we got three things here. No, we got one thing. The one thing. The tribulation that every one of you are in your soul, your life. And maybe the world can't see it because everything's going fine. You look at some people in our assembly and they look like, boy, they got it made. No, they don't. You look at another believer in our assembly, boy, they're really hurting. Not any more than the other. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. We're in tribulation, people. God, why do you think so many Christian marriages end up in divorce? Because we got a lot of weak Christians out there, and it's just unrelated to anything. Do you believe that? Just unrelated to anything? Just related to the lust of the flesh? No. This believer's in a tribulation. He's in a tribulation. We've got to understand this. This is what Paul is talking about. I mean, we probably won't get to tonight, but I'm going to take you through a journey in Scripture about this. In the tribulation. The Greek word for tribulation, pressure, to be pressed, compressed, squeezed, with the objective to crush, with the objective to break. All of those are right out of the lexicon. I did not dream up anything. Grievous affliction. Here's the heart suffering. What's going on? The believer's life, maybe not every day all the time, but throughout their life. Squeezed, pressed, crushed, break, tried to crush you, tried to break you. Grievous affliction. Black, that's the way they see the world. Now we can all have me at the crash talk about how that's phony and it isn't true, or we can talk about how it is true. We can go back to when they were brought to slaves. We can have a long discussion about it. I'm talking about the way they see each other and the way they see themselves. We are this. We are crushed. We are afflicted. We are pressured. With the objective to break us. Afflicted. And therefore, because you're black, you're my brother. And I'm there. I'm with you, brother. Jews the same way. We go through their history. Afflicted by the world. Crushed. Attacked by the invisible force of Satan. By the visible force of the world. You want to know what bonds them together? That's what bonds them together. You have to go through that. Only when you go through it do you start identifying it. Going through that kind of thing. I don't do too much marriage counseling before people get married. But I would readily do marriage counseling where one person is marrying another person who has a child or children. And sit down with them for a long time and say, don't you be the judge of how that mother and that little boy and that little girl act, how you don't like the way that little girl acts or that little boy acts. They need to be taught manners. They need to be straightened up. They need to be straightened out. You weren't there the night they cried through the divorce, through the hurt. You weren't there the night they just slept together crying all night. You weren't there. You walk in and you're the almighty judge now. You're going to evaluate how she's been raised, that little boy, that little girl. Well, my, aren't you great? You never understand the bond they have. You won't understand why the mother or dad may overlook a couple of things that you don't overlook. In your eyes, you see how bad they are. Wow, I can't believe they'd do that at the table. I can't believe they'd do this or that. But you don't understand. You haven't gone through that. Support that woman or that man. Just to say, let's say that the man married a woman. You just support her. Don't go into judgment. I know many men that judge the way their children or the marriage they go into. You weren't there. You have no idea of the days and nights of unbelievable pain. That's a little snapshot of what I'm talking about here. See, people, you should understand what any other Christian's going through. Oh, maybe you don't sin just that way, but your arrogance is something else, or you're this, or you're that, whatever it may be. We are in the tribulation. And that brings a bondage that you just can't understand. It's hard for people to understand, like some of these World War II movies, where one group of men stay together through the whole war. Some of them get killed along the way, and they have to see their buddies die. There's a bond you and I never understand. You don't understand it. You can go through this. You don't understand why they will always be like that with each other. That's what tribulation does. Christians don't sense this. We're too arrogant. We're too self-centered. We're too law-centered. We don't have time to understand the partaking that we have here. What do you think about the words that we just looked at? Because they describe every believer you know at some point in their life, including you. If you're married, and you're married to a fellow partaker in this tribulation, it includes your marriage. Your marriage is in this tribulation. We ought to pray for one another, support one another, encourage one another. I'm not shocked at divorce. I don't judge it. I'm going to let God do that. Whether you believe that they can do this, I'm not into that. I'm sorry. You may not like that of your pastor, but I'm not. I don't judge. I understand it. And all I want to do is support. I want to support both. I don't care if one's right and the other's wrong as far as what we might look at a moral issue of the law. I want to support both of them. This is not fun. This is not fun. What's going on? Tribulation. Tribulation that's going on. Your association with believers in church. If you're a pastor, an evangelist, all the more. Satan's going to do everything he can in this tribulation. It's a great prize when he can bring down the pastor. And people, it's invisible. But it's real. That's why you don't see it. See, the blacks can see it. They weren't allowed to ride in the bus. They weren't allowed clubs. They weren't allowed certain things. The Jews can see it. They weren't allowed in clubs. They weren't allowed to do certain things. And they were slaughtered by the millions just because they're Jews. They can see it with their eyes. You can't see it with your eyes, generally. We've got to know this by faith. We bond it together and support and encourage in this tribulation. Now, before we close, it's related to what he's doing. Tribulation he's talking about here is a tribulation that all Christians go through. But he's also looking ahead to that, what? Great tribulation. So this is going to become really important. Oh boy, people. If you don't know how to do this in times in just normal life, when things really go bad, you're not going to know how. You're not going to understand this. You better get it down. Now, we don't have to because we won't be there. But those believers that are going to be alive in the second 3.5 years, boy, they're going to have to bond together in tribulation. They'll have no choice. They'll have no choice. So, Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation. I partake it with you. And people, he did. Related to the kingdom and requiring perseverance, which are in Jesus. It's causing the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we didn't get very far in the verse. But if we'll let your Spirit show us, we've got a long way in understanding the body of Christ and one another. I pray, Father, your Spirit will make these things real in our soul. Cause them to become part of our life, part of our experience with one another. As we walk by faith to see the spiritual warfare that cannot be seen with eyes except the eyes that are even sure, the eyes of faith. Father, we praise you for just the way you've woven these first 9 verses, and that's all we've gotten through. The things that we've already seen, things we've already learned about you, about Christ, about ourselves, And now about the whole body together. We praise you, Heavenly Father, for it. Father, I pray that all of us here will have a safe and happy Thanksgiving and come back and worship something. Father, we praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen.